Well, good evening, everyone. So we have been going through developing godly characters. Do you remember how many characters we have gone through, anyone? Of course, I have a list here, so I can tell, but there are 13 characters, godly characters. I will read it for you just for a patience, self-control, kindness, forgiveness, returning good for evil, faithfulness, honesty, generosity, loyalty, purity, esteeming others before self, thankfulness, good stewardship. So these are the 13 developing godly characters we have gone through for past 13 weeks. So this week onwards, we are going through the characters once again, but in a different angle. So this is a character study from Nehemiah. So again, Nehemiah has 13 chapters. So I picked up 13 characters from Nehemiah. 13 characters from Nehemiah. So it's very fascinating study. So when I was going through today, one of the best days of my life, understanding the background, understanding the depth of the necessity of studying this book. Okay. So let me pray and then we'll jump into the study. The first character of Nehemiah for our edification. Let's close our eyes and look unto the Lord. Dear Father, thank you, Lord, this evening. We come to your presence. Dear Father, as we open the scripture, Lord, we pray that thou might open our eyes of understanding. Speak to us. Give us a day where we can learn from your word. Apply that into our lives. Bless us as individuals, families, and as a church. Thank you, Lord, for bringing our friends also, Lord. Commit this time into your hands. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. So from the first chapter of Nehemiah, let's open first chapter of Nehemiah. So what are we going to learn from this chapter? If you see here, so this is we're going to study the character of Nehemiah in the context of prayer. Learning to pray with Nehemiah. So I have seen at least hundreds of slides on the internet. What is that people are studying about Nehemiah? Okay. So many churches. But I was thinking in the context of the local church, okay, in the context of our needs, I was looking unto the Lord to provide direction for us. So these things are fresh. So in the context of prayer, the very first character of Nehemiah, learning to pray with Nehemiah. Okay. So there is a difference. Learning to pray from Nehemiah is different from learning to pray with Nehemiah. The difference is disciples comes to Jesus and asks, teach us to pray. Okay. He is the master person to teach us how to pray. But with Nehemiah, we can learn some of the very key lessons about prayer. So the focus of this study is going through the characters of Nehemiah. And as we go through the characters, we'll see what is the background. You got it? Because we have so much of variety of faith levels, age levels, understanding levels. Okay. So instead of going as an academic exercise, instead of putting before you what I have learned or some 10 hours of learning, instead of putting the load on you, information overloading, Let's learn one lesson from each chapter. That's the focus. Let's take home one lesson. That's the best way to learn. Somehow our culture, our current context is information overload. But learning one upon one, laying that foundation, it really helps us to grow in the Lord. So when you ask any person, what is the most boring thing in a Christian lives? Is prayer. It's very difficult to pray. There are times are there in family prayer, we'll be praying, and some of us will be sleeping in the prayer times. Because, see, especially Thursday evenings when we come from work, it's a challenge. Okay? I try to keep awake myself. I try to push myself. But it's not possible because of so many things. Our flesh is there. Okay, we are tired. But really focusing our time for the prayer, that's the whole takeaway from this message this evening. Okay. So learning to pray with Nehemiah. Okay. When Nehemiah realized the brokenness of his people, he fasted and prayed by repenting and remembering the God's promises for days before the God of heaven to bring them back to the dwelling place of God. So this is the whole idea, the big idea from this chapter. When Nehemiah realized the brokenness of his people, he fasted and prayed by repenting and remembering the God's promises for days before the God of heaven to bring them back to the dwelling place of God. Okay. So this goes very, very in depth. Okay, I suggest don't sleep. It's a very important topic, okay? So it depends on me also, right? How much I'm able to explain to you, how much I'm able to keep you engaged, I understand. So let's get to the chapter one. Let's read and see how this flows through this chapter. Okay. How this thesis or the main idea flows through. Let me read, if you open to the book of Nehemiah, first chapter, I will read first two verses. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. Now it happened in the month Chislev, in the 20th year, while I was in Susa, the capital, that Hanani, one of my brothers, and some men from Judah came, and I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped and had survived the captivity and about Jerusalem. So here we see Nehemiah. He is in the capital, okay. The Susa, the capital, in the month of Chislev. Chislev is the month of Jewish calendar. So I can tell you what is the month of Chislev, okay, what is the month of Nisan from, because that's I learned, okay. But to make it light, okay. Nisan is the first month of Jewish calendar. Nisan starts March and April. Okay. Chislev starts during the September and October time. Okay. Why I'm telling this, I'll ask you later. Okay. You have to remember this. I'll come in between. I'll ask you what is that month. I'll repeat again. Chislev is the month of September-October period. What is the first month of Jewish calendar? Nisan. You can remember Nisan car, right? You can remember like that. Okay. I'll ask you again. So here, Nehemiah, he was asking one of his brothers, okay, and some men that came from Judah, and he was asking their welfare. So what is this background? Why he has to ask who is coming from where? Okay. What is the reason that he's asking their welfare? If you look at the background, it's so fascinating. I will give you my 25 years of Bible. Thank you. My 25 years of Bible learning within five minutes. Okay. This is so crucial to understand the bigger picture of the whole Bible. Okay. It's very important. If you look at here, David, 1063 BC. So on a ballpark point, you can take 1,000 years back of Jesus. Okay. Very easy to remember. So from David towards Nehemiah, what has happened? Okay. In a bird's eye view, this will really give you a backdrop to understand the whole Old Testament. See here, David started United Kingdom of Israel, Solomon. So during that time, these are the books, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Job, I don't know why it has come. I'll get back to you, honestly. Solomon, from there too, it's divided the kingdom. 10 tribes of Israel. Okay. Southern kingdom, primarily, it's a Judah, it is called Judah. Primarily tribes of Judah and Benjamin. See here, it has gone here, the northern kingdom. The exciting point here is, there are two exiles. Through two captives. Captive. If you see here, this is the captivity in Assyria. And this is the Babylonian captivity. Most of the time, we talk about those 70 years of Babylonian captivity. But if you see here, this is where those 10 tribes of Israel, Elijah, Elisha, Amos, Hosea, Jonah. See, these are the Assyrian captivities. Okay. And coming here on the Judah side, Obadiah, Joel, Isaiah, Micah, Nahum. So these are all the prophets. And from here, we see captivity in Babylon. Okay. This is where, once their captivity went on captive, Daniel and Ezekiel, those are the books. Okay, they lived there. And afterwards, Persia is what? Assyria. They come onto the Babylon, they capture them. That's where Habakkuk, if you see, he says they'll come and catch you. They will put you a, what is the fish? Hook. So, see, if you look at this, right, you can put the whole Old Testament perspective. Okay, why they are writing this particular book? What is about major prophets? What is about minor prophets? Okay, so it's where here, Persia, they take over. And here, Esther first returned from exile is returned to Jerusalem via Haggai, Zechariah. That's the time where Zerubbabel comes into picture. Afterwards, Ezra, Nehemiah. Three coming back from exiles. Three times. Okay. And they start building this. Ezra starts building the temple. Nehemiah, we are going to look at. So this is the backdrop. Okay. And here we see Nehemiah is in the, he was in Susa, the capital. Okay. Now, see, this is a very, very fascinating, exciting thing. I got it from University of Chicago. This is a archive, photographs archives. They went there with the permission of Iran right now. Okay. And they took, at least there are 200 photos are there. I'm just taking the very key picture. Okay. So this is where, if you see here, view of Susa, the capital. This is the one, capital. Okay. Note the tomb of Daniel, center left on. So this is the one. Okay. And this is the Saimara River. From an altitude of 534 on October 23, 1935. Okay. So here is where Nehemiah. Okay. Here is where Nehemiah. And he's asking, he's inquiring how his people are back in Judah. How are they doing? Coming back to chapter 1 here. So one of my brothers and some men from Judah came, and I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped and had survived. Both were there, escaped as well as survived in Judah.
Okay.
From captivity and about Jerusalem. They said to me, the remnant there in the province who survived the captivity are in great distress and reproach. They're in great distress and reproach. And the wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates are burned with fire. This is what he heard. This is what the wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates are burned with fire. So in this context, how Nehemiah approached, what is his prayer? What is that we can learn from Nehemiah about the prayer? See here. Learning to pray with Nehemiah. When Nehemiah realized the brokenness of his people, he fasted and prayed by repenting and remembering the God's promises. For days before the God of heaven to bring them back to the dwelling place of God. So this is what happened. So when Nehemiah realized the brokenness of his people, when the prayer comes out, when should we pray? What motivated Nehemiah to pray is when he realized the brokenness of his people. You know this word used, broke. It is used in the context of financial context. Most of the people, they use financial context. When people are broke, that means when they do not have money, when they don't have resources, that's the situation called broke. So in the scripture, there are, if you remember, prodigal son, when he left his father's home, he did not realize that he's going to hit the situation and he'll be broke. But when he hit the real situation, then he realized and looked back. I'll read some of the things about broke. Broke people often are broke because they would rather have others think they're doing well or wealthy. The result is that they spend a bunch of money on things they don't need in order to appear like they have got power and influence. And interestingly, broke people do not know that they're broken. Only broken people know that they're broke before God. Broke people don't like to take responsibility for their problems. They will often shift blame and say it's someone else's fault. Broke people blame their friends, family, and the government. When you look at this situation, the situation of Judah, they did not know that they were broke. Let's turn to just a couple of books before Ezra. Okay, in the Second Chronicles, before Nehemiah, Ezra, and before that, Second Chronicles. This is where actually the exile starts. The 70-year captivity starts here. In Second Chronicles 36 chapter, verse 11. I'll read a few verses here. Zedekiah was 21 years old when he became king, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. He did evil in the sight of the Lord his God. He did not humble himself before Jeremiah the prophet, who spoke for the Lord. See, Jeremiah is the one who prophesied, who looked forward and mentioned that if you disobey God, God will take you as exiles. Verse 13, he also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who had made him swear allegiance by God. But he stiffened his neck and hardened his heart against turning to the Lord God of Israel. Furthermore, all the officials of the priests and the people were very unfaithful, following all the abominations of the nations. And they defiled the house of the Lord, which he had sanctified in Jerusalem. The Lord, the God of their fathers, sent word to them again and again. With so many prophets, he sent word. He sent again and again by his messengers because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. Very important, on his dwelling place, on his people and the dwelling place. But they continually mocked the messengers of God, despised his words and scoffed at his prophets. Until the wrath of God arose against his people, until there was no remedy. So that was the brokenness. That's how they're broke. Verse 17. Therefore, he brought up against them the king of the Chaldeans, who slew their young men with the sword in the house of their sanctuary and had no compassion on young man or virgin, old man or infirm. He gave them all into his hand. All the articles of the house of God, great and small, and the treasuries of the house of the Lord, and the treasuries of the king and of his officers, he brought them all to Babylon. Then they burned the house of God and broke down the wall of Jerusalem. The walls were broken. And burned all its fortified buildings with fire and destroyed all its valuable articles. Those who had escaped from the sword, he carried away to Babylon. And they were servants to him and to his sons until the rule of the kingdom of Persia. To fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah. So look at the wrath of God coming on them. Due to their disbelief, unfaithfulness, pushing back God's compassion, the walls were broken down. So we read one verse from Proverbs. We read a different verse. We should read 25 and 28. Okay, Proverbs 25 and 28. Can you please... Proverbs 25 and 28. Okay, please.
No rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls.
Exactly. Like a city that is broken into and without walls is a man who has no control over his spirit. So it's completely broken down. See, as I read, broke people do not understand that they're broke. Unless God brings repentance into them, unless they become broken, then they realized, oh, I was broke. How many families are broke, if you see in that definition. How many young people, their lives, they're broke. It's like a city that is broken into and without walls. That's the reason when they're broke, what happened? They're in great distress and reproach. See, when Nehemiah realized the brokenness of his people, that's where when the prayer comes. Unless we realize that we are broke before God, unless we realize we are bankrupt before God, we cannot pray. See, this is a first learning to pray with Nehemiah. When we realize the brokenness, Nehemiah's background, we do not know much here, but from this we can really understand he's not praying for him, but he's praying for the brokenness of his people. See, look at this. Nehemiah, he is a cupbearer to the king. Okay. He is in, we have seen where he is. He's in Capitol, DC type. Washington, DC. He has everything. He need not even think about his people. Okay. He need not think about anyone else. But we see the compassion, the heart of Nehemiah. Unless we see the brokenness in people's lives, our life and in people's lives, unless it moves us, how can we pray? What is it that motivates us to pray? What is it that motivates, that moves us, that brings that burden to pray? When we see the real situation of our children, of ourselves, of the churches around. If you don't realize the brokenness, how can we pray? Verse 4 in Nehemiah, chapter 1, verse 4. When I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days. When I heard this, I sat down. That means Nehemiah don't sit at all. 24 hours he always stands. When he heard this, he sat. What does it mean? When he heard, he could not do anything. He's just like shattered. He sat down. He could not do anything. He sat down and wept and mourned for days. For days. Is it a continuously? For days, is it where and how long? Is it continuously he prayed? And how long he prayed? How long he prayed? We have looked at, it happened in the month of Chislev. And in the second chapter, first verse, and it came about in the month of Nisan. How many months? Say October, six months. 6 months, he sat down and prayed. I'm not telling that throughout the 6 months he just sat down and, no. The point here is, those 6 months he dedicated the time. He focused, he fasted and prayed. So we have looked at, when Nehemiah realized the brokenness of people, when he fasted and prayed by repenting and remembering the God's promises. He fasted and prayed. The word fasted is abstaining from food, right? But if you see the fasted, the word fast means it's a word connected, the root word connected, steadfastness, focusing, no deviation. See, that's the true meaning of fasting and prayer. Focusing. So when he realized the brokenness of his people, we see here, he sat down, wept and mourned for days. So when we realize our situation, we think everything is great. Okay, many times. As families, as immigrants coming from different countries. What is the baseline? If I get every month salary, everything is great. If I can pay bills, that's good enough. If I can have a house, that's nice. If I can have a church where I can go now and then, Sundays I can go, just relax, just come out of the daily grind. So many times we think like that. If you are thinking, we are broke. That's the broke. That's the definition. We are thinking, okay, kids, not at all. They're listening to our what we are saying. Be careful. That's not the definition of a healthy. That's not the only thing. That's only the starting. That's a training period. And here, Nehemiah, he fasted and prayed for 6 months. When we hear this type of things, what is that we do? The latest is, I'll start a WhatsApp group. I add all my friends. Just share the things, whatever it's coming along. There is no prayer at all. What is that we do? When is that last time we realized the brokenness and fasted and prayed? When is the last time? Let's be honest. When is that I went before God, fasted and prayed? When is the last time as a church there is a need, separating the time, going to the Lord and prayed? When is the last time we got up early in the morning and we said, I have to pray for this? See, when we go through the tough times, right, the broke situations, what is that we do as Christians? We hear a lot of messages, different types of messages. But when is that we hit the throne of God? So that's what Nehemiah teaches us. So there are things in the world that are so complex, we cannot resolve by ourselves. Jesus said, you can do nothing apart from me. That's the level of inadequacy that we are in. That's why we read Hebrews chapter 5 and 7. Chapter 5, verse 7. I'll read it for you. The seriousness to understand is, chapter 5, 7, I'll read. In the days of his flesh, he offered up both prayers and supplications with loud crying and tears to the one able to save him from the death, and he was heard because of his piety. So that's the level of prayer Jesus really prayed. See, many times, as Christians, as we might be growing in churches, we are so naive. We don't understand the complexity of where God has kept us. Here we see Nehemiah, he's at the best of his life, but he's looking back. Why is that Nehemiah has so much burden, so much love for his people? We see as our time of discussion goes down. Okay. He fasted and prayed by repenting and remembering the God's promises. Let's see further verses here. Verse 5. I beseech you, O Lord of God, O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who preserves the covenant and loving kindness for those who love him and keep his commandments. Verse 6. Let your ear now be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer of your servant, which I am praying before you now, day and night, on behalf of the sons of Israel, your servants, confessing the sins of the sons of Israel, which we have sinned against you, I and my father's house have sinned. We have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the ordinances, which you commanded your servant Moses. Remember the word which you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the peoples. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though those of you who have been scattered were in the most remotest part of the heavens, I will gather them from there and I will bring them to the place where I have chosen to cause my name to dwell. See how he prayed. He fasted and prayed by repenting and remembering the God's promises. See, when we are broke, what is the solution? Is only remembering God's promises. Remembering God's promises, the one who made the covenant. It's a one-sided covenant. With Abraham, one-sided covenant. And with us, the New Testament believers, it's a one-sided covenant. Remembering God's promises, Lord, where can we go? So that's the prayer, how we have to pray. And for days, where and how long? And Nehemiah is in Capitol. Okay. It's not about where and how long, it's about the intent. It's about separating our lives. As Paul mentioned, praying without ceasing. Before the God of heaven, before whom? To whom he is praying? A God who cares for his people, who hears the prayers of his people. And to bring them back to the dwelling place of God. So this is the why and what. If you know this, then the burden comes. Here you see, to bring them back to the dwelling place of God, where God lives. It's not about the physical place, but where two or three gathered, he's there in the midst of them in the New Testament, as he mentioned. Where his people are there, he dwells, he likes to live with them. In 2 Corinthians, I'll read a verse for you there. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 says, I will dwell in them and walk among them. See, I'll dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God and they shall be my people. So here, the purpose, why and what, is to bring them back to the dwell. God wants to dwell with us. He wants to communicate with us. See, when we come as a church, he wants to dwell with us. You remember in Revelation, there is a verse, it says, let's open the Revelation chapter 1. Very interesting. I'm just remembering that. It's not there in my notes, but I'm remembering. Chapter 1, when John, he was in Patmos, chapter 1, verse 12. Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. Right? These are the seven golden lampstands, seven churches. What's happening? And in the middle of the lampstands, I saw one like a son of man. And in the middle of the lampstand, clothed in a robe reaching to the feet and girded across his chest with golden sash, his head and his hair were white like white wool, like snow, and his eyes were like a flaming fire. See, in the midst of the church, in the midst of an assembly, God walks. He wants to teach to us, very gently. That's the purpose. God wants to live with his people. What is the meaning of coming to the church? Is when we are worshiping God, he moves. See, we have to have that experience as a Western Wake Bible Chapel. He moves. What an amazing thing. God likes to dwell among us. He wants to make a tent and he wants to teach us very gently, very closely. That's the burden of Nehemiah. That's the reason he's praying this. Look at the glory with which they worshipped God and where they are now. And he's asking them, how are you guys doing back in Jerusalem? And he was mentioning, no, sad. We're not doing as God intends us to live. We are not living with the resources that God has given to us. Second chapter of Peter. So let's... Second Peter, chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything. Everything pertaining to life and godliness. When God has given us everything, how is that we are living? Are we living with our full potential? As Jesus said, I came to give life, life abundant. Are we living with that potential from the Lord? Look at the spirit that he has given to us. How the spirit guides us. Look at where God has kept us in the assembly, where we are accountable to each other. I cannot live whatever I like. I'm accountable. God has kept me in the local family. I have to give an account to each other, to elders, to each other. Otherwise, how can I grow? I'll become broke. What is the solution? Remembering the promises. God's promises. Amazing. I will read one story here. One of the mightiest men of prayer of the last generation was George Muller of Bristol, England, who in the last 60 years of his life obtained the English equivalent of $7,200,000 by prayer. But George Muller never prayed for a thing just because he wanted it, or even just because he felt it was greatly needed for God's work. It's a little bit strange, right? When it was laid upon George Muller's heart to pray for anything, he would search the scriptures to find if there was some promise that covered that case. See the expertise these guys, wow. They're all stalwarts of faith. That's why they were able to do big, big things for the Lord. What he was doing? To find if there was some promise that covered the case. Sometimes he would search the scriptures for days before he presented his petition to God. And when he found the promise, with his open Bible before him and his finger upon that promise, he would plead that promise, and so he received what he asked. He always prayed with an open Bible before him. See the dependency on God's promises. We are not left alone in this world as believers. We are not orphans, as Jesus said. If we have this much, what is that our next steps? What is that we are going to do as Nehemiah? What is the legacy that we are going to leave? And Nehemiah praying, O Lord, I beseech you, may your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and the prayer of your servants who delight to revere your name, and make your servant successful today and grant him compassion before this man, the king. He's stepping forward. Before taking a step, take a step back and go to the Lord and put forth your case before the Lord. Not just for your things. Look at when he realized the brokenness of God's people. So let's take this as a challenge to us as we go through the book of Nehemiah. I have seen 13 characters or skills of Nehemiah from each chapter. 13:1-3, because as it goes, it becomes so dry, but there are things that we can learn from life of Nehemiah. So this is, we can learn to pray with Nehemiah. When Nehemiah realized the brokenness of his people, he fasted and prayed by repenting and remembering the God's promises for days before the God of heaven to bring them back to the dwelling place. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you, Lord, for this evening time. Thank you for the book of Nehemiah. Teach us, Lord, to pray. Teach us, Lord, to pray like Nehemiah. Teach us to pray with Nehemiah for our families, for our churches, for the world across. Dear Father, help us, Lord. Expand our vision. Lord, we pray that as Nehemiah is praying, have mercy upon us, O God. Give us favor. Lord, we commit ourselves into your hands as a church here, Lord, local church, as a body of your Son, Lord Jesus Christ. We wait upon you, Lord. Give us the days that we can cry unto you. We can cast our burdens to wait upon you, Lord. Strengthen us and lead us. For we pray in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.